In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Many folks speculate what the Reformation was really all about. Was it the rediscovery of the gospel, or the doctrine of justification, or the three solas? But it's really broader than that. It's about the Word of God. And that's why the text for the Feast of Reformation is always John 8:31-36. Because it teaches that God's Word frees us from the bondage of our own blindness and self-slavery. Through His Word, we're made disciples of Jesus. Without it, we're slaves to sin. Now, our text from John 8 is a conversation between Jesus and the Jews who were celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, this Jewish feast commemorates Israel's 40-year journey in the wilderness after they had been freed by God's mercy from Egyptian slavery. So they're celebrating their freedom from slavery and how God had protected His people in the wilderness. So Jesus begins this conversation by saying, "If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So here Jesus sets the stage for discipleship. If you want to be His disciple, you must listen to Him. Abide in His word. Also, you could translate that as remain in His word. Abide in it. Live in it. Let it pervade your thoughts, your actions, your being. Because by it, you will be free. They responded to Jesus with extreme arrogance. "We're offspring of Abraham, and we've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" What a stupid response. Look what feasts they're celebrating. They were celebrating their freedom from slavery to Egypt. So it's really kind of a stupid, non-historical, and arrogant thing to say. They basically told Jesus, "No thanks, we don't need your freedom because we're not slaves." They were blind to the reality that God's people were slaves to Egypt. And they were also blind to the reality that they were currently being occupied by Rome. This is what sin does. It blinds people. It sears and hardens hearts and consciences and minds to the fact that they're enslaved. Not necessarily enslaved to governments and armies or tyrants, but enslaved to sin. If we look and abide in Jesus' word, we'll see ourselves reflected clearly in a mirror. We'll see that we're enslaved to ourselves, to our passions, our lusts, our bodily desires, and desires to please our soul. Sinful man also responds with extreme arrogance to Jesus' invitation to abide in His word and be His disciples. The sins of laziness and apathy and busyness are blinding. So we respond to Jesus, "Well, what do you mean, abide in My word? I don't have to actually know what your word says and study it, do I? I don't have to carve time out in my day for you, do I? Sorry, I just don't have the time. I can't understand what the Bible says anyway. It's just too complicated. But hey, I can just listen to the preacher, right? And that's enough." The excuses are endless. Our sin blinds us, leaving us unaware to how little we hear God's word as Jesus' disciples. Our sin leads us to make excuses, knowing that we should do better and then never doing anything about it. Sinful man is left enslaved, not knowing how to free himself. Now, before we get the answer to how you're free, here's some practical tips. Don't understand what the Bible says when you read it at home? Come join Bible study. We'll teach you how to read the Bible. Don't know what to read? I have plenty of Bible reading plans. Some don't take but 10 minutes a day. Think the Bible is just boring, not worth your time? Repent of your sin. God created the universe with his words. He became flesh that he may live and die for you. This God invites you to listen to his words. His words are worth your time and your devotion. The problem isn't that God's word is boring, but we have sin blinding us. No, you don't have to study the word of God, but to be a disciple who knows the truth and is set free by the truth, Jesus says that you must live in it. Just as a fish is still a fish when he's out of the water, you can be a Christian outside the word of God and the fellowship of saints, but you won't last very long till sin binds you to its yoke again. That's why Jesus invites us to abide, remain, live in his word. Without hearing and obeying the word of God, you're a slave to yourself. That's what Jesus says. That's what Jesus says. Everyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin. So now to bring this all back to the Reformation. This is one of the great teachings of the Reformation. Yes, Luther brought back the correct teaching of salvation, that we're saved by grace through faith, and thank God for that. But we can't have those clear teachings if we don't realize how pervasive sin is towards our being, how we act, who we are, what our dispositions are towards. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. The Roman Church didn't teach this clearly. In simplicity, after baptism, they would teach that, well, man isn't that sinful anymore, that he's still able to make satisfaction for one's own sins through good works and through sanctified living. But that would make sanctification a work of man, not a work of God. But since God wasn't needed to complete salvation, man is then dependent on himself, which would make man not all that bad. But if we're being honest, our sinfulness is more pervasive than we give it credit for. It pervades our thoughts, our hearts, our minds. Luther knew this well in his life. He studied God's word as a monk. He meditated on it morning, noon, and night. He knew God's word, commanded certain actions and service towards those around him. But Luther realized his actions weren't really all that sanctified. He did Christian things, but out of fear of God's punishment. Not really because he actually loved his neighbor and wanted good for his neighbor. When he examined his sinful heart, he mostly saw anger, hate, maybe a little bit of laziness. There was nothing that he could do to shake sin's hold on his soul. We're no different. Every time we sin, we experience sin's slavish hold on our souls. And we often blind ourselves to our sin by convincing ourselves that, well, that wasn't really me committing that sin. That little devil on my shoulder, he's the one who made me do it. But we can't act as if the saint in us, the new, the converted, and renewed man that we are by faith, is okay with the sinful man taking a hold of the reins for a little while the saint takes a nap in the back seat. Being a slave to sin isn't good. The old man will simply drive the horse into a ditch, and you'd never get the inheritance the Father gives. But with Christ, there's freedom. There's freedom from yourself. Freedom from sin's stronghold on your soul. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus sets you free through his word. You are made a son of the Heavenly Father, not because of what you did, or that your religious practices were good about 50% or more of the time. But you are free because of Jesus, his cross, his burial, his resurrection from the grave for the justification from your sins. We aren't free because of us, but because of the Son. By abiding in the Son, abiding in his word, you will always know this truth. We will know of our sinfulness and our need to repent time and time again, that our life is one of constant repentance. We'll hear of our Savior, who became a slave to our passions and lusts, redeeming us from the penalty of our slavery. In defeating our passions and lusts, he yokes us to himself and leads us in our sanctified life in Christ all the way to salvation. To have the word of Christ is a change of status. Our titles change from slaves to sons, from slaves to daughters through the word of God. The guilt of sin slavery is taken away. But this isn't an invitation for guilt-free sinning. Rather, this change of status also reflects in some degree a change in our behavior. Not that we are suddenly so free from sin on this side of heaven that people could even notice. But there are changes that we make as sons in obedience to our Father, in expectation that what he commands for us is good, and that we would want to be like him. That's the freedom in Christ that he gives to his children. So abide in his word, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.